We continue our learning of Nishmas Susan Masleya, Helen Masleya, David Bebenachavish, and Han Yaakov, Bevinig of Stelio, we're in Bava Mitzia Peraches, Mishnah Tess. Hamaskir Bias Lachavero, another case, person rents a house to his friend, Vinafal, and it collapsed during the days of Schirus. He rented it, let's say, for a year, and sometime in the year, the house collapsed. So where's the Socher going to live? He's paying for the whole year. Chayav Lahamin Lo Bias. So it's the obligation of the masker, of the landlord, to make sure that the tenant has a place to live. Yeah, you can't live there? It collapsed? Okay, you should find another place for him to live. Haya katan lo yasenu gado. If the house that collapsed was small, the lo yasenu gado, the masker can't force him to live in a bigger house. You may say people like a bigger house. So the socher says, no, I don't like a bigger house. I don't like stairs. I like everything's much smaller. So the masker can say, well, this is what I have available. I have a larger house available. I don't have a smaller house. So this is what I'm going to give you. So the socher can be ma'akev. You can say, no, that's not what I want. I want a house as small as the one that you gave me originally. Gadol lo yasenu katan. If the original house that he was renting was larger, so the masker can't say, okay, the same money, here is the I'm giving you a smaller house to rent, so it can't do that. Echad lo yasenu shnayim lo yasenu echad. If let's say it was one house that he was renting, he can't now say, okay, I'm giving you two houses. What do you mean two houses? Maybe two houses which equal the size of that one house. Or let's say he was originally renting two houses, he can't say, oh, listen, I only have one house available, that should be sufficient for you, so squeeze your whole family that you had spread out into two houses, squeeze it into one house, that should be fine for the rest of the rental. After all, house collapsed, you have to feel bad for me. So the socher, the tenant says, I don't feel bad for you. You're the landlord. You have to provide for me exactly what I want. Two houses and one house, whatever it may be, the way it was, that which I rented. Lo yifchos mehachalonos velo yosef alein. And even a number of windows. So he should not, the house, he shouldn't take away from the number of windows. The house that collapsed had a lot of windows. He likes it. It's very airy. And now the mosque gives him a house that has very few windows. He's not allowed to do that. Nor should he add on. Maybe he's like, I don't like so many windows because I like my privacy. So in order to do that, it has to be elamidash neim, which means the socher, if there are any changes, the socher has to agree with it to it. And if not, so then masker has to find the right place. The Gemara says we're dealing with in our Mishnah where the masker showed the house to the socher and said, Bayis kazeh ani masker loch. I am renting you a house like this, that looks like this. The Mishnah is coming to teach us that, all I meant by that was, when I said a house like this, I meant a house that's close to the river, like the house I showed you, and something like that. No, he asked it, when he says, I'm renting you bayis kazeh, what he means by that is what the house looks like, a number of windows, and its size, etc. But if he said to him, bayis zeh ani maskir loch, not bayis kazeh, but bayis zeh, and that house collapsed, then he's not chayv to give him another house. It's the socher's bad mazel that caused it. Because he said, I'm renting you not by his kazeh, but rather by his zeh. This, and if something happens to the house, too bad, what could I do? And if he said, I'm renting you a by his stam, he didn't say kazeh or zeh. So then the masker has the right to build the house however he likes. And the socher can be ma'akev, because he didn't say kazeh, where he could demand, I want this number of windows and this number of bedrooms, etc. But at the same time, he can't say it's your mazel that too bad on you, because he didn't say bayzeh, he said bayis. So he has to give him another house, but the masker can give him any type of house that he would like. This is all in Gemara Bava Mitzia on Daf Kuv Gimel. We begin the ninth parak, Tes Mishnah Aleph. Hamakabel Sada Mechaver. So he was going to speak about, something we called Arisus and something we called Chakirus. Arisus are sharecropping. We often use the word in the same way, the idea of contracting. A sharecropper takes the field of the owner to work it, and he's going to give the balabais a certain percentage, and the rest he's going to keep for himself. Chakirus, what we saw mekabel, is not arisus exactly. That's where the worker, is going to, the sharecropper is going to be giving a fixed amount of the grain of whatever it produced. So arisus, sharecropping, the classic one is they were a percentage of the yavul, a percentage of that which is produced is given to the owner. And chakirus is where a fixed amount is given. So it could be that the worker, will end up gaining. He may end up losing. This way, the Baal HaBayis is going to get a fixed amount. Or there could be schirus. Schirus is just renting. That's we know. That's where the work person who's living on working in the field is just going to give a certain amount of money. Not any produce, not a fixed amount, not a percentage, but it just gives him money for the year. So says the Mishnah, Makabel Sod Mechaber. This is where Shimon is going to be working on Reuven's field. He's accepted as a sharecropper, contractor, whatever. Mokam Shanagu Liktzor, Yiktzor, Lakor, Yakor. The way it works like this, wherever we follow the custom, whatever the custom is, if the you're in a place where the custom is that you harvest the grain, the wheat, with a sickle, so that's what the Mekabel is supposed to do with, that's how he's supposed to harvest. If what do? They don't use a sickle, but rather they just pull it up with the roots themselves, that's how they take out the wheat. So Yaakov, that's what he should do. And he should not be using a sickle, because the owner of the field expects him to pull it out everything, including the roots. And lacharosh acharav, if the minhag hamedina is that after the harvesting or the uprooting of the wheat, you plow so that the old roots will die out. So then yacharosh. So that is the responsibility of the mekabel to do so. And neither the mekabel or the owner of the field have the right to change. They can't be ma'akev one on the other. Or they can be ma'akev one on the other to make sure that they follow the minhag hamedina. Because sometimes the minhag hamakom is more beneficial for the owner of the field. Other times it's more beneficial for the mekabel. For example, ktsira, harvesting. That's easy. The person who is working in the field, the mekabel, the sharecropper, it's easy for him to do ktsira. It's not such a big tircha. Pulling out from all the weeds, that's all the roots as well. That's a lot more work, but that's very helpful to the Baal HaSadeh, because in that way, he's able to fertilize the field. No, rather, what it means is that it can benefit both. The ktsira, the harvesting, potentially could be good for both. That's where we give an example of what noach lazeh, v'noach lazeh. Harvesting is going to be good for the mekabel because it's easy to harvest either than pulling out the weeds. And not only that, if the roots stay in the ground, that can potentially be to the benefit of the owner of the field because it will fertilize the field. On the other hand, the akira, pulling out the roots as well, can be good for the mekabel as well. Why? Because he now has straw for his animals, and it could also be good for the Baal HaSadeh because he's clearing out the field. So it's not, it depends, sometimes beneficial for both, sometimes not beneficial for both, sometimes beneficial for one and not for the other. But if there's a minhag without any reason at all, so then the other person can say, well, this is a minhag we do over here, but it means it's not helpful, doesn't do anything, it's not to anyone's benefit. That's what we call a minhag stone, and that does not have to be followed. The same way, the Baal HaSadeh, the owner, and the Oris, and the sharecropper are going to split or a certain percentage, whatever it is regarding the grain, so too, they are regarding the kash, the tevin and the kash, the stubble and the straw, they split as well. We don't assume, the owner only wants the wheat, the grain, so don't worry about all the straw can belong to the mekabel, he can feed his animals. No, that has to be split as well, says the Mishnah. And Kishem Shemecholkim Bayayin Kach Kolkim Bismoros Uvikonim. The same thing, if he's working in a vineyard. So the same way they have to split or a certain percentage is given to of a sharecropper to the owner of the field, wine, so too the Zmoros, the branches, the Konim, the reeds, those are also, that also has to be a split. Ushneem Misapkin Es Hakonim. So the Kadamer said are the reeds that we know it, you have to train the vines. So who is obligated to provide that, to spend the money in order to pay for that? So both the owner of the Kerem, the owner of the vineyard, and the Eris and the sharecropper, they are the ones who have to pay for the Kadam. Then the Gemara says that what's this doing here? This is here to give the rationale for the halacha before. Why is it that they get to split the Kadam? The reeds as well, along with this moros and the wine. Well, the kanim, they split because they both pay for the kanim, the new ones that they need every year. But what that implies, of course, is that if only one of them is going to be paying for them, so then after the harvest is over, so the kanim, the reeds that remain, belong to only the one who paid for them.